out in center field romping. It's a little kitten, actually.
It's going after Lorenzo Cain, saying, please help me. Are all these fans cheering for me?
Yeah, Locato. Let's see. He just wants a little love.
We've seen that before.
Oh, boy, in Seattle.
That guy went out and picked up that cat, and the cat bit him.
There it is.
Yeah. Ow! Ow! Stop it!
He doesn't like that.
Oh, he's got him again. He'll have to get some tetanus shots now. All right, back to the field. Bases loaded. 2 outs. The pitch for Yanni.
Molina!
And the Redbirds are back on top. Here, kitty, 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 kitty.
Meow.
Some Cub fans will remember 1969 when a black cat crossed in front of Ron Santo and provided a bad omen for an impending collapse in the division race. But Cardinal fans are feeling a cat on the field was a big help last night. And life is good in St. Louis right now for the Cardinals as they have won 5 in a row and are knocking on the door of a division lead with the Cubs. They can pull within 1 game tonight. How you doing, everybody? It's Scott Patey with Marcus Jackson Sports Talk on this Thursday. We got a whole hodgepodge of things coming your way. And it's good to be with you, Marcus. Blackjack Jackson.
That's right.
So you told us last night that's one of your nicknames from school.
Yeah, goes all the way back to high school. That's a long time ago. I don't want to think about it.
Number 21. You know what? I've been going through the basement and going through boxes of high school memories, and I kind of feel you there. You open up some stuff, and you're like, that's what I've thought. That's what I was like. That was what was important to me. And then there's other things. I'm like, oh, those are good memories. I want to keep that.
For some reason, I was looking at some old high school yearbooks the other day, and it's amazing how much has changed just since the late 90s.
Well, you've filled out nicely since then.
Yeah, I don't know if nicely. I filled out. There's no doubt about that. I don't know if nicely is the word I would use for that. But it's pretty neat to go back and look at some of that stuff and relive, I guess, the glory days.
The glory days. Well, you can participate in the glory here of Sports Talk. Give us a call, 356-9397, if you want to participate. Anything on your mind, Illinois, baseball, anything else. And the Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-9397. That's also a way to get in touch with us. So don't know if the rally cat that appeared last night at Busch Stadium will have the same magic as the rally squirrel did back in 2011. But a lot of momentum right now for the St. Louis Cardinals. And, you know, you just can't count them out right now, even though it still remains that the Cubs, I think, are the best team in the NL Central. But everybody has been saying this from the get-go. And the Brewers have looked like they've faded, and the Cardinals have not put a lot together consistently. But they are right now and having a better second half. And you just don't know who wants to win this division.
I'm going to start bringing some animals to White Sox games with me, and hopefully that'll get something going. It's amazing.
You know, a skunk has the same color scheme.
It does. I can go for that. I can put up with a little bit of a smell if it's going to get me a World Series title. But, I don't know that a lot of people saw this coming just a few weeks ago or even earlier in the season with the Cardinals sneaking up and being in contention for the division. This here as we get into the middle of August, but there they are, and we've seen this before, and we'll see if they have enough to sustain the momentum they've built right now. But I guess all you could ask for is to be in contention at this point in the season, and they sure are right there.
Matt Carpenter talking about the 5-game winning streak.
This game is dictated and played around confidence. I mean, when you feel confident to play, you're successful. When you feel confident on the mound, you're successful. And when you feel confident as a team, you usually go on runs. And I think that's what you're seeing.
Cardinals tonight hosting Kansas City to wrap up the home-and-home series with the rivals from the Show Me State. Lance Lynn has been throwing the ball very well. He has gone 4-0 in his last 6 starts with a 1.21 ERA, 10-6 overall, 3.12 ERA. Jason Hamill, former Cub, will go for the Royals, 5-9 with a 4.73 ERA. White Sox hosting Houston tonight, Carlos Rodon on the hill. Cubs are off, and they start an all-important series with Arizona tomorrow. I say that because although the Cubs hold the lead in the NL Central right now, they would be chasing Arizona, as is St. Louis right now, for the wild card if they fall out of the division lead. Pittsburgh, by the way, won today. They're a game under 500, three games out in the division. St. Louis and Milwaukee tied for second, a game and a half out of first place. All right, the PGA Championship out in Quail Hollow, North Carolina. Your clubhouse leader is Thorbjørn Olsen. He has shot a 67, 4-under for the clubhouse lead. A few more, five others, check that, tied for second. One on the course, though, John Rahm, former Arizona State player, and then a whole bunch tied for seventh at 2-under, including former Illini DA Points. He's been the most successful today of the Illini connected players on the course. Steve Stricker is still on 2-over for the day. Thomas Peters had a bad day, shot 8-over and a 79. And if you were with us yesterday, some folks were picking him as a dark horse to maybe win this thing. He's got a whole lot of work to do now to get back and even make the cut after tomorrow. Mike Small, coach of the Illini, 9-over. Quail Hollow, I don't know how you would characterize it. It's a little bit longer course, probably the least challenging. Is that fair of all the majors this year? I mean, Aaron Hills up at in Wisconsin seemed to either play really easy or really hard, depending on how you hit the ball. But I guess that's true of any course.
Yeah, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say Thomas Peters not gonna win his first major this weekend. I don't know how I would rank it. I heard someone say today that it was a pretty tough test, so I don't know. I think the weather has helped out quite a bit. It's been nice and cool there and dry for the most part, so it's helped. The fact that the course is longer, that it's not making it longer by it being soft or anything like that. So I don't know what it is, but it seems to be playing pretty tough. The scores aren't outrageous at this point, but it's fun to see DA Points in contention right now, and hopefully it'll be the weather will hold up the rest of the weekend, and we'll see these guys go out there and play pretty well.
Kevin Kisner is in the mix there at 2-under. Hideki Matsuyama is 1-under for the day. Jason Day finished 1-under. Some of the more prominent names: Brooks Koepka at 3-under.
He bloodied a Marshall.
Did
out
he?
There, yeah.
I didn't see that. What happened?
I think early in the round, his tee shot went wide and hit one of the guys in the gallery, one of the spotters, I think it was, and left him bloody. I think it hit him in above the shoulder, somewhere in the head area, and I'm sure there's some stitches involved.
I have relatives that did that for a ladies' PGA event that came through Michigan. They get free rounds at the course for doing that. It's all a volunteer thing, usually. Mm-hmm. I assume it's the same at the major level.
Yeah, poor guy is... He definitely earned his whatever he gets today.
It feels like, reminds me of Kramer in Seinfeld being a ball boy for the U.S. Open. Jordan Spieth managed a 72 today, and John Daly, kind of being John Daly today, was at par through 17 and then had a triple bogey on the 18th. Had to three putt it and left some choice words as well there on the course after he exited. So John Daly still doing what he does.
Does he still have all 14 clubs in his bag? I think it was 2 years ago at the PGA up in Whistling Straits. He launched, I think it was a 9-iron into Lake Michigan.
Some Big Ten football news as well. A big loss for Wisconsin. They've lost senior linebacker Jack Cicci with a knee injury, a torn ACL that he suffered on Tuesday. Paul Christ made the announcement today. He's a former walk-on, now a team captain. He's going to have surgery tomorrow. He's out for the season. That's a huge cog in the machine of Wisconsin's defense. He was going to be a big anchor. Had 60 tackles and 1.5 sacks last season, despite missing the final 7 games. So that's a blow to Wisconsin. And, boy, you know, I guess that's somewhat of a help for Illinois, but you don't like to see it come that way.
Tough situation for the Badgers.
Nice.
There.
Yeah, that was, nice.
That's all I got for you. I'm here all day.
Yeah. Marcus Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, Marcus Jackson. Bears play the Broncos tonight in preseason NFL football. Is there anything that prompts you, Marcus, to watch preseason football?
Totally forgot about that. I really did until like I was coming in. I was like,
oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, the Bears play tonight. Interested to see Mitch Trubisky whenever he gets on the field, see what he looks like and, you know, what kind of future he might have. You probably won't be able to tell a lot based off of tonight's game, but just to see him out there and what kind of skill set he has. I know some people around here are familiar with him after having played Illinois last year here at Memorial Stadium. But other than that, not really inclined, especially the first preseason game. You know, the first one, there's not a whole lot going on. The second one, a little bit more. Third one is the one that you really want to watch, because that's when, you know, the starters will play the majority of the half, I think, for both teams, and you get a better idea of what kind of team you're dealing with. But other than that, not really excited about it.
The NFL had toyed around at one point at cutting exhibition games, going up to a 16-game schedule.
To an 18.
They're at 16, up to an 18-game schedule. Would you be a fan of that?
Yeah, and I think even Roger Goodell alluded to that this week, saying that they could probably stand to do away with two of the preseason games. Now, you know, part of that is there's two schools of thought on this. One is that, you know, guys get an opportunity to make the team, so there's more opportunity, more reps for those fringe guys who are on the bubble of making the team, and they get to showcase themselves a little bit more if you have more preseason games. So it would hurt those guys, but at the same time, yeah, you won't see some of the marquee guys maybe go down in a meaningless game and lose the season for that. So I don't know if extending the regular season is the answer to that either. Maybe just cut one of the preseason games and keep the schedule as is with 16.
You know, the NFL this week also announcing they're going to be hiring some full-time officials. Is there anything more frustrating than football officiating as a fan? I mean, I get that fans always feel hosed by baseball umpires, but look, by and large, a baseball umpire is going to get things right. Now we have replay on the base paths for to fix those calls, but even balls and strikes, most of them are going to get called right. Football to me is too ambiguous. It's too hard to officiate well, and it's too hard to be consistent. I guess this is going to help because they're going to be full time, which means they're going to be helping with things in between games, as opposed to guys that had just been working, you know, for the game, and then they go back to their day job and they get paid well to be an official. But something has to improve in football officiating, particularly at the NFL level.
Well, if you want to, it can be worse. We saw the replacement officials a few years ago, and that was a complete disaster. So it's never going to be perfect. There's going to be some issues here and there, but I think for the most part, they really do a pretty good job. It's tough, but I think maybe this will help, having the guys there full time and you know, focusing more on football and in the day to day.
Football, speaking of that, college football, Illinois football, 23 days until kickoff. Training camp continues out at the campus rec fields in the east side of campus. Scott Ritchie has been covering the Illini. I've been out there every day, and he joins us now to check in. Good afternoon, Scott. How did today's practice go for Illinois?
Today was a pretty good day, I would say. The offense looks better than it had at the end of last week. You know, yesterday was a pretty decent day for the offense. Today was maybe a little better. Turnovers were down, fewer interceptions, so that's probably something the Illini can at least hang their head on for day 10 of training camp, or day 11.
And I saw a couple of notes on the Twitter sphere. One is that Christian Abercrombie made a nice interception at the line. Thought that he was initially a linebacker, but has he been playing defensive end? Have you caught where he's been lining up?
Yeah, I mean, he started camp as a linebacker, but has moved to defensive end. Probably was about the end of last week. And, yeah, made a great play on the pass. Got up, I mean, to pick it off at the line, had to get up quick, and he's got good speed, and asked Lovie Smith about him after practice and just said that almost pretty set at linebacker, had guys ahead of him, and there was an opportunity maybe to use his speed on the edge as a pass rusher.
Yeah, maybe he might be a guy, he's a smaller guy, at 6'1", 225, maybe he's a guy that you use in passing situations?
Yeah, I mean, he would, I think he'll be a pass rushing end, as opposed to maybe a guy that would play, you know, multiple downs at defensive end. He may come in for, you know, those pass rushing situations, maybe some blitzes in particular. But even at end, he's got some guys ahead of him as well. Lots of freshmen, at least defensive ends, that have played pretty well in their first camp.
Also saw that Andrew Traynor may be moving over to the offensive line. He's slotted as a tight end, as a redshirt freshman. They have a bevy of tight ends, and of course not enough linemen.
Yeah, and that was another situation where there were guys ahead of him at tight end, and he has pretty good size at 6'7", 265. So well, there's certainly a need for some offensive line depth, and he would probably be about the best fit of a guy if looking to change position. So he practiced with the line a little bit today. Wasn't doing the full team 11-on-11, but got in some drills, and I think it'll be a transition for him. I mean, he played tight end in high school. This is kind of his first go-around as an offensive lineman.
Scott, is there a major cause for concern then with the offensive line and the fact that they don't have a whole lot of depth and they're moving a tight end down to help out with that problem?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just shows the situation that Illinois is in with their offensive line. They only had 13 going into camp and just on the roster before they moved Traynor over. And then Darian Lowe hasn't been able to practice yet. Larry Boyd was out a lot of last week. He's back in pads today, but kind of limited. And then Jake Stover, another freshman, is also out still. So, and then looking at Christian DeLauro, he's kind of been in and out of practice, and he was in today, but looked like his left leg is still kind of hampering him a little bit. So they basically just need bodies.
How did Chase Crouch look today? How did the other quarterbacks look?
Made more passes today and yesterday. I mean, the first week was maybe not a great one for the quarterbacks, but they have been looking better, and they certainly have plenty of weapons to utilize in the offense. Lots of wide receivers out there. Ricky Smalling made some nice catches today. Malik Turner as well. Kendall Smith has shown flashes and made a couple nice catches today. They have some targets, and maybe just a little more consistency from the quarterbacks the last couple of days has been what Illinois needed, really, from its offense.
Yeah, and Ricky Smalling back in camp, or I shouldn't say back, finally in camp as a freshman. He was held out for personal reasons the first few days. Were you able to sniff out his situation? And my understanding is he's going to be able to talk to the media briefly. Were you able to meet with him or get any sense of who he is?
Yeah, I did get a chance to talk with Ricky Smalling, and maybe the general theme was he was just happy to be on the football field. Finally, not being here last week, for most of the week at least, said that he would have rather been here and felt like, didn't want to let his teammates down by getting behind, but he seems to have caught up pretty quickly. In his, I guess this would be about his fifth day total of camp so far.
All right, Scott, we appreciate you checking in. I know you'll have plenty more coming up in online and in the paper tomorrow.
Yep. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Scott Ritchie out at football training camp. 23 days until September 2nd. Illinois and Ball State, 11 a.m. kickoff. And, I think we're seeing what we all kind of knew. The Illini are thin at positions, particularly on the offensive end, and they cannot afford injuries. Few football teams would ever say they can, but the reality is, Illini don't have a whole lot to replace guys with.
Yeah, they really don't, and I think it's one of the things worth watching as you go forward. You mentioned 23 days until the season opener. You wonder how intense they'll go in practice and how hard they'll push guys, knowing that they're not very deep at certain positions. So you're right, Scott. They've got to stay healthy, especially at those top positions. If they can, they'll have a chance to improve upon last year's record this season. But the most important thing for this team is, as you said, with a lot of teams, is to stay healthy and not have to go too deep into that bench.
I would have to think this is the hardest thing for a coach to do, is navigate this time of year. Whether you're talking about preseason games with the Bears, as we were talking about, or training camp. Because you need to get everything you can out of your guys. You need to press and push so you know that people are game ready. But football is, there's one guarantee in football, is that somebody's going to get injured almost every game. It's because it's the nature of the sport. I don't know who's the best at it. I don't know who's the worst at it. But I would have to imagine every coach goes in at night and wonders, should I have done the way things the way I did them? Maybe you just get used to it and don't second guess yourself.
Yeah, you got to get guys in shape, so you got to push them and, like you said, make sure they're ready to go. And then I think you just have to have the pulse of your guys and of your team, and your guys have to be smart about the way they're going about things too. You're not out there. I mean, yeah, obviously you're out there. You're trying to be physical and get a feel for what it's going to be like in the game. But you also want to make sure that you're healthy to go. And you know, if you're banged up on a day, don't try to go out there and be a hero and try to prove your toughness. You know, get it taken care of and make sure you're ready to go and to be out there for your team. But there's no exact science to it. I know they're doing a good job these days with there's more advancements in strength and conditioning and those types of things, which helps. But you know, sometimes freak things happen. There's nothing you can do about it.
We're off and running here on Sports Talk. Still to come here in the hour, our Tim Dittman caught up with Aja Evans, who was a former U of I track and field sprinter turned bronze medalist in bobsledding. If you recall, there's going to be some Winter Olympics coming up in not too distant future into this coming winter. So Tim caught up with her to hear how things are progressing as she gets ready for the Olympics. And also something I came across is I've been going through my basement and cleaning that out, trying to find a place to something to do with my sports memorabilia, particularly my baseball cards. There's finally a place here in the area, Bricks and Ivy. They're up in Hoopston. We're going to talk with Emily Brown, one of the store owners up there, and hear about what they're doing. It's a pretty unique environment there, and answer some questions about what to do with all that sports memorabilia and what's going on with baseball cards. Just thought it might be an interesting foray into that subject, something we don't get to very often here on the program. Plenty more ahead. Sports Talk. 5:34 Sports Talk on Thursday. Scott Beatty and Marcus Jackson with you. Our Tim Dittman had a chance to catch up with Aja Evans, who took a bronze medal as part of the U.S. bobsled team. Former University of Illinois sprinter turned bobsledder. Here's a portion of the conversation that Tim had with her.
Tim Dittman here on Sports Talk, and I am talking with Aja Evans. She is a former sprinter, and she also threw shot put at the University of Illinois and then successfully made the leap into bobsled, won the 2014 bronze medal at the Sochi Games, Sochi Olympics, and she's gearing up for another Olympic run. And she joins me now from, I believe you said, out in California, right?
Yeah, I'm actually in Chula Vista, California, training at the Elite Athlete Training Center out here.
Well, I want to talk to you about your prep for the Olympics, but I first want to go back and ask you, you recently competed up in Calgary in the USA Bobsled National Push Championships. You set a record there, and you mm-hmm. also had a top performance. Talk a little bit about that and just kind of what was working well for you there in that event.
Yeah, Tim, I'm feeling so good in this off season, and as I prepare for the Olympic year, we had our annual push championships, which is essentially like the first phase of making the national team in hopes of making the Olympic team. And we had it a little earlier this season than normal. Usually we have that in September. So to have the results that I had in July, and our season just ended in April, literally. I got off the ice in April. So to have that success so early on just means it's going to keep getting better from there. I'm staying healthy. I have a great training regimen, and everything's really coming together for me.
Yeah, and maybe talk a little bit about that. What are you doing right now? What is your training regimen like? And mm-hmm. maybe lay out the timeline as we get closer to the national team trials, which I believe are in November. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, so we still have other parts to our, essentially like the tryout for the national team. They'll name the national team in October, and we have our team trials race where we'll actually race on ice at in Lake Placid at the Olympic Training Center out there. We'll race there mid-October, and then after that they'll name the national team and then jump into the season in November. And so I've been training with Jacob Ross, who has been my sports performance trainer for years, even before I started into bobsled and went, you know, and as I was pursuing it, he was writing my programs and training me with all these amazing football players. And this year I've added a trainer and friend of mine, Les Spellman, to the team as well. And Les did rugby and kind of specializes in speed and sprints and that type of stuff. So I've been adding that to my program as well as my nutrition and working with Susan from the USOC. So I kind of have a really good team put together this year. And it's better for me because after my success and my experience last Olympic Games, I kind of know what I need and what I want to do in order to try and pursue that goal.
Talking with Asia Evans here on Sports Talk, former Illini and a bronze medal winner in the 2014 Sochi Games in bobsled, and she's gearing up for the 2018 Games as well. Asia, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about your time here at the U of I, both on the track team and off. Any good memories, any good stories from either competing or just fun memories you have of being on campus or being with your teammates or anything like that?
I mean, I miss those days. Like, I think we kind of take them for granted so much because as a student athlete, you're required, you know, just to, you know, stay on top of so much. And so you don't really take in everything at that moment. But just the support I got from everybody, from the alumni system to, like, the teachers and the people they had in place to really help us excel both on the field and off the field, that was some of the best moments and the stuff I kind of took for granted at the time that I realized helped me so much because it put me in a position to keep excelling far beyond my time at the University of Illinois. So I just wanted to thank everyone and the staff that's kind of been a part of that journey. And as far as memory goes, like, I have some crazy memories with my team and traveling throughout the country and competing. And so just that whole team atmosphere, you don't get as much until I got back into the sport of bobsled. So it's kind of like nostalgic now because I get to share so many experiences with amazing girls like I did at U of I. So I'm kind of living it up again through this whole Olympic experience.
And you can hear more with Tim Dittman and Asia Evans at our website, wdws.com. We'll visit with the folks from Bricks and Ivy Sports Memorabilia Store now in Hoopston when we come back. .543 on Sports Talk on a Thursday. Scott and Marcus Jackson here with you on DWS. If you take a drive up Route 1 to Hoopston and head to downtown, you will find Bricks and Ivy, a nod to the Cubs, of course, but a sports memorabilia store with all kinds of goodies in it. Owners are Rob and Emily Brown out there in Hoopston. Emily joins us now on the phone, and let me tell you that I was going through a bunch of stuff that I had in my basement as we're cleaning house here a bit and took a bunch of my stuff up, was helped out a lot by Emily and her husband. Emily, thanks so much for joining us. You guys are not that old, just a few months now in business, is that right?
That's absolutely right. Thanks for having us on this evening. We just opened in May, so about mid-May. We've just been open a few months.
Well, what inspired you to open this, this store, and what are you trying to do?
Well, you know, my family has been a huge card collectors always. My husband, since he was just a little kid, and my boys were kind of born and raised with it. We spent every weekend driving to the card shops that were a couple hundred miles away. It's just crazy that, you know, the local card shop has just kind of gotten lost over the years. And so we were driving all these miles, and finally we decided, you know, let's open one here in Central Illinois and kind of serve Central Illinois and the towns around here.
All right. I brought in my cards, several hundred of them from the late 80s and early 90s when I was really into card collecting. And I found out that they don't have a whole lot of value. Why not?
Well, in those decades, the 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s, sports cards were just mass produced. And so they didn't have anything interesting about them, really. They were just, you know, paper cards that came out of the pack with a piece of bubble gum, and they were mass-produced. So nowadays, the card industry is just making a huge comeback. I mean, it is just a really, really big deal nowadays. And the reason is because they are doing cards differently. They're making a lot of rare cards, one of one, one of 25, and they're putting sports relics in them, so pieces of bats, pieces of jerseys, making them really rare. And they're also putting a lot of on-card autographs in these packs, so you could get a card with Wilson Contreras' autograph right there on it already. So that's unique, and that's something that they're doing differently now. And then they also do different shades of cards and different variations, color variations, and things like that. So it's just really It's really interesting. So card collectors go crazy over that one of one item. So,
Emily, back when I was growing up in the early mid 90s, my friends and I would ride our bikes to the card shops and spend hours in there looking at cards and trying to find, you know, cool things. And are young people into trading cards nowadays, or is it more of a people of a different generation?
It's really all generations, but definitely young kids. What we have seen in our store, we have been hosting some trading card nights, and so kids can bring in their collections, adults can bring in their collections. What's really cool is for those kids to be sitting at the table with guys who've been collecting cards their whole lives and to trade stories, not just cards, but trading stories of, hey, this is what this guy did back when I was a kid, and we all thought he was a hero. And, you know, just listening to the stories that are shared is unbelievable. But I would say, yeah, it's just every generation.
I saw so much stuff there. You know, your baseball cards, but you have a lot of other memorabilia. Is there something you kind of prize or you're especially proud of that you guys have found in your memorabilia collection?
We have so many neat things, but some of our favorites are, we are huge Cubs fans, obviously, name of the store. We have been collecting a lot of postseason memorabilia over the past few years. And we have a base from the 2015 postseason run, NLDS, or no, actually it's a championship, so it's an NLCS base, which is pretty cool. We actually just sold, which was really one of the neatest things in our collection, a Gatorade cooler that was signed by the whole team in 2015, another piece. But we're constantly getting new things, and we have a big, huge reveal on Saturday. Saturday is actually National Baseball Card Day. We have a big reveal of a really cool item that we're going to talk about that day. So,
all right, so that's a tease. What do you guys?
When that's a tease.
What are the details about that?
So National Baseball Card Day is a day we're going to be open from 10 to 6. You come in. There are packs of cards that Topps has put out, especially for this day, for card shops. So they're going to have some really cool hits in these cards, but they're free. You come into our store that day, we give you a pack of cards, you look around, and you get to see the really cool item. Maybe bring your camera. It's definitely going to be camera worthy.
Great. Well, hey, I appreciated getting to know you guys earlier this week and the help you gave me. I think you guys are doing something cool with sports memorabilia. I encourage folks to take a drive out in the country, out to Hoopston. Emily, best of luck, and maybe we'll have you guys on again sometime with get some questions out about what this or that might be worth, but apparently whatever I have is not worth that much.
Well, thanks very much for having us on.
All right, appreciate it much. Emily Brown of Bricks and Ivy in Hoopston, 201 East Main Street, bricksandivysports.com. We have more coming up on Sports Talk, a little excerpt of a conversation that that Lauren Tate had with Mike White.
Here come the Cardinals. I'm Jason Gotch, and the Gotch Files are next. I'm Jason Gotch with the Gotch Files. It's been a rough season for the Cardinals, but they may be peaking at the right time. While the Cardinals have struggled for much of the season to get to the 500 mark, they finally moved past that milestone with a surge in August. So can the Cardinals catch the Cubs and win the division? Sure they can. While I haven't been high on the Cards this year, and I'm not sure their recent solid play is anything more than a good stretch in a very long season, let's look at the teams they are battling. While the Cubs had a good run after the All-Star break and made impressive trades to upgrade their roster, they've lost 6 of 9 to start the month of August. Plus, the Cubs have lost slugger Wilson Contreras to a serious hamstring injury. He's been carrying the offense and has 12 home runs since the start of July. Meanwhile, the Brewers have been on a slide since the All-Star break, and the Pirates never seem to be able to get above that elusive 500 level. The Cardinals' starting pitching is solid. The questions this year have been about the hitting in the bullpen. The bats have come alive, and the Cards scoring double-digit runs in 3 straight games at one point during their winning streak helps their confidence. The bullpen appears to have stabilized, too. It's not that I'm really sold on the Cardinals, and while I think the Cubs will still win the division, I'm not convinced of it. The Cubs are flawed, and the Cardinals are the best of their challengers in a very weak NL Central. With another installment of the Gotch Files, I'm Jason Gotch.
.554 on Sports Talk. Hey, you remember Mike White? Coached the Illini for 8 years, 47-41 record with 3 ties, led the Illini to a an undefeated run through the Big Ten in 1983 and a trip to the Rose Bowl. Lauren Tate caught up with him. It's another edition of his Tate Lines Unedited. It's about a half an hour podcast, I think, this week. And it's available at our website, wdws.com, at news-gazette.com as well. But wanted to bring you an excerpt.
Yeah, the 80s belonged to the Illini. I mean, it wasn't just Lou Henson. You had a lot. I think Ed Bond mentioned to me, when you were here and Lou had those teams in the 80s, it was fun. I mean, you made football and a lot of fun for a lot of fans around here. And I wonder, when you think back on that, what do you recall most significantly?
Well, I had never obviously lived in the Midwest, and so I didn't, you know, I've been out here in the fast lane, or whatever that means, or at least coached, you know, I coached almost every team in the Bay Area. I coached the Raiders, I coached the 49ers, I coached Cal, I coached Stanford.
Yeah.
So I was a Bay Area, Northern California guy that had a cup of coffee at a whole bunch of different places. And the people in the Midwest and the way they took to Neil Stoner's philosophy of the tailgate, or the tailgate, and of course, you know, there's no better place to go to a football game than the University of Illinois, because the parking is great, and they, you know, people get out there and they're in different, you know, for everything from golf carts to whatever else, you know, they can pull in the night before the game. And then, you know, the success we had, I just remember how much I used to enjoy after the game.
Yeah.
Especially because we did, you know, I'm going to say 26 sellouts in a row.
I'm sure it was that many.
Whatever that.
Only team in history to ever beat all the other Big Ten teams in one year.
Exactly. And so it was so joyful as a coach to, in fact, I think I ended up parking my car over there in fact, at that hotel we stayed at, down underneath the railroad tracks and over there on the other side of the parking, you know, and I almost did it by just because I was hoping we'd win the home game and then I could walk through the crowd, you know. I stopped for a couple of beverages along the way with the Illinois fans, and it carries on to this day, Lauren, because the people they're so appreciative of enthusiasm and things, and that's where it was, you know, where Neil did such a good job, and he allowed me to, you know, I had a woman's clinic, if you remember, and we had all sorts of, you know, the grid club had men and women in it, and, you know, sometimes those grid clubs get overrun by the male gender, and we just had a lot of fun, and then of course we had, you know, with Dick Martin, and we had those my Mike White highlight show with a live audience. Now that was something. I do remember that was something.
Little excerpt there for you. Find it online, wdws.com. Tate Lines Unedited. Marcus, you got to catch up with Mike White a little while ago, too.
I did, yeah. We first met at the Rose Bowl back in 07, 08 when Illinois last made it there. And, of course, he lives out in Southern California. And he's great, really laid back, easygoing. And I was working on the story a couple months ago when Simon Sfianovich was going through his deal with the settlement that he got from Illinois. And I was talking to Coach White about how they did things back in the day. And again, he's just laid back. He likes to hang out. He's on some different boards and committees down there dealing with football, and he's definitely a Southern California guy, just really, really easygoing, and I'm sure back in his heyday when he was here, things are great. And I think he mentioned in that podcast that he used to walk through the tailgating area mm-hmm. after games and hope that they had won because he'd have a beer with the fans and stuff. I can't imagine Lovie Smith or Tim Beckman or Ron Zick or any of those guys doing that today.
Well, first of all, it'd be all over Twitter and Facebook, and right. That'd probably be the end of it right there. But maybe in 30 years, we'll be having podcasts with Lovie Smith saying, hey, remember when? And those were the good old days. D. DA points up to 3 under now through the 15th at the PGA, tied for second. That's about it for us on Sports Talk here. Marcus, thanks much. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good, Scott.
And our thanks to Blake Landa behind the scenes, Tim Dittman speaking with Asia Evans. Our thanks there, Emily Brown from Bricks and Ivy, Scott Ritchie with a report from training camp. Most of all, thanks to you for listening. We'll do it again tomorrow, 5 o'clock. Plan is to be live from training camp over in the Campus Rec East Fields. Weather pending. It's News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station. Good night, everybody.